Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 17th of January, 2010. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Tim is starting a series called Your Part in the Jigsaw, where he'll be looking at five different roles the Bible says people in the church are given. This week, he'll be introducing the series and also taking a look at the role of the prophet. The reading is Ephesians 4, verses 7 and 11 to 13. So we'll go and join Tim as he's introducing his sermon.
Today we're going to be starting a new series looking at several of the different roles which the Bible says the church, God's people, needs in order to function in the way that we should. And it stems from the book of Ephesians. And before we go any further, we're going to read that before we start thinking about, are you a prophet? Some of you are looking a bit scared at that thought, but hopefully it'll all become clear as we continue. So would you like to read this with me? But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the whole body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Okay, let's try something now. Could you please fold your arms? Okay? Now you've folded your arms. Now please fold them the other way. Yeah. Now, some of you found that quite easy to do, and some of you actually struggled with it. Do it again. Go on. Do it the natural way, and then try folding it the other way. Okay? Now, please don't carry on doing this through the whole of the rest of what I'm going to say. Otherwise, it could get really annoying. But the thing is that we do some things naturally, don't we? And it takes a little bit of thought to actually do it in a different way. And the same can be true when we look at the Bible. Because we sometimes need to learn a new way of looking at it. And the passage that we're thinking about over the course of this series is one which many people have heard, but that many people disregard, to be honest. We know it's there, and it's a very nice words, but totally irrelevant to me, because it doesn't impact me. And I think it's because when people think of the description of the roles that we've just read about together, we think maybe about an apostle just being a description of one of the founding fathers of the church. You know, a guy with a grey beard, if they got that old. And the pastor, well, the pastor is the one who's up the front, isn't it? And, well, the evangelist, well, that's the big name who draws the huge crowds and makes an appeal. And in our minds, we tend to dismiss this passage because we say, well, that's not me. I've got news for you. We need to rethink how we view this list. Firstly, who actually is it referring to? Who is it describing in this passage? Remember, it said this: but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. The thing is, the book of Ephesians is a general letter to all Christians, okay? It's a general letter to all of God's people. Unlike some of the other letters in the New Testament, which were about specific churches and the circumstances that they particularly faced, this letter applies to every Christian. And so this list is not about some special level or class of Christian. It's about you. And it's about me. And it's about the person sitting next to you who's feeling just as uncomfortable as you are at this moment. To each one is what it said, isn't it? It's not even about leaders, okay? In fact, leaders aren't mentioned in this passage at all. Weird, isn't it? It's actually about you and me discovering the role that God has made us to fill. Because you are you. I know that's a stupid comment, but nobody else can be you. You are unique and special. And you know, as I was preparing for this morning, one of the things that I felt God really reinforcing, I suppose, was that a real sense that there are people here today who need to know that you're special. You need to know that you are incredibly valuable to the God of the universe and that you have a special part to play. And I just sensed in my spirit there are some here who've been so bruised by things in their lives, who've maybe been put down at different times and in different ways by people who you looked up to, that you've never felt you can amount to anything. I believe God this morning just wants to echo into your heart how precious and special you are. That's not in my notes. I just really sensed. Some people here just need to hear that. That you are important. You are significant. One other thing that I just want to point out, really, at the beginning of this thinking about this passage over the next few weeks, is that the roles here in Ephesians are not the same as the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's not to say that we don't need the gifts and they're not connected, but what's being described here are roles rather than gifts. Okay? Just to clarify that. Now, it would be helpful if a prophet had the gift of prophecy. An evangelist had the gift of evangelism. But we're talking about a role rather than a gift as such. Here's a verse from a passage in 1 Corinthians where actually Paul does talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you want to read it with me? Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And the word manifestation, I really like this bit. When I was doing the preparation, sort of came across this. The word manifestation in Greek, I can't pronounce it, apparesis, means the revelation or the enlightening that God brings. Okay? But the English word that we use to say this has its root in the Latin for the dancing hand. Isn't that nice? It's great. So the dancing hand of the Holy Spirit gives gifts to God's people. Isn't that a fantastic image? The dancing hand of the Holy Spirit is dancing around this church, giving gifts to those who need it at the particular moment that they need it and in the particular circumstances where they're necessary. And those gifts are not permanent roles. We don't possess those gifts. We don't hold them, if you like, as something that we possess and that are part of our ownership. They are gifts of God, given to us in order to achieve what he asks us to do. And the key to the gifts of the Spirit is that it's that dancing hand, giving just as is necessary in our coming together, giving grace as it is needed, as the verse puts it. Now, the roles that we've been talking about in Ephesians are given to make the church strong and effective. Each of us living and ministering in the way that God wants us to. And some people have put these five roles together as the five sides of a pentagon. Okay? Well, just because there's five, so I guess it would be tricky to do it as a square. But you get the idea. And you've got this image of five sides of this pentagon. And we're going to be looking over the next few weeks at each of these. But for this morning, we're going to focus in on that first role of being a prophet. Okay? A prophet. So what is a prophet like? Now, in your brain, you could have images at this point, couldn't you? You know, a prophet should be slightly muzzy-haired, shouldn't they? You know, they're probably slightly deranged. They go around shouting a lot. They go around and they're probably a bit smelly. I don't know about you, but in my mind, I have that image, you know, because they don't worry about, you know, personal hygiene very much. They're more concerned about just sort of speaking out. Now, we have all sorts of images in our brains when we think of prophets. And I suppose partly it's because in the Bible there were some really weird ones. John the Baptist is not somebody I would want as my next door neighbour. You know, the image of him is slightly weird. Can we draw a line under those images this morning, okay? Because what we're actually talking about is something much more practical, much more simple. What's a prophet like? Here's an explanation which opens up who is a prophet. One who hears and listens to God. The prophet foretells and tells forth revelation from God. That's not quite so scary, is it? Not quite so weird. And often somebody who has this role of being a prophet, they're able to stand back from the circumstances that they're in. And they're able to see a clear picture of what's happening. And to therefore see creative solutions, to see a way forward where other people can't see a way forward. To develop a vision for situations which often other people just can't see. And they understand the times and what people need to do. And of course, we're not talking about this in an abstract way. We can really look at what this is like in the Bible, can't we? So here's a few biblical examples of what a prophet is like. You know, a few weeks ago we had our Christmas services, didn't we? And unusually, we included somebody called Simeon in the secret agent's nativity. Do you remember that? There was a great boy who came shuffling up as an old man, and we had a little song about him, didn't we? Those who can remember it, Simeon, and all that bit. And the reason that Simeon was included in that story was that Simeon had been promised from God that he would see God's salvation before he died. And Simeon was known as a prophet. Anna, at the same time, in the biblical narration, was also a prophet. And they prophesied over the infant Jesus. They said what he was going to do and the sort of things he was going to accomplish in his life. You can have some other examples too. Agabus in Acts 11. Shall I read that to you? Let me find it for you. Acts chapter 11, verse 28. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. So he was a prophet in the early church. And in Acts 21 and verse 10. After we'd been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." And he spoke into the specific circumstances that Paul was going to face. You know, prophets are quite useful. Prophets are incredibly valuable in bringing God's word into given situations. Philip's daughters in Acts 21. How about this? He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. And so prophecy in the New Testament, in the Bible, was something that was very commonplace. We're not talking about, you know, the big frontline names. We're just talking about ordinary Christians in each of the churches that were given the role of prophet. Of course, I suppose, well, each week we're going to be looking in this way of the biblical example, but of course Jesus is the one that we follow. Was Jesus a prophet? Yes. So if Jesus was a prophet, does it make sense, given that Jesus said we would continue his ministry as his body, that the role of prophet is going to be part of the local church? You know, Jesus' example is that every word spoken from his mouth was a revelation from God, wasn't it? We read about Jesus' teaching. We read about what he communicated. And it still touches people's hearts. Even people who aren't Christians are touched by the words of the prophet Jesus. He often foretold events. Jesus foretold the events of Peter's denial, didn't we? And he prophesied about the details of his own death. And Jesus himself is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And we're not going into all of those because there are so many of them. But Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the Messiah. You know, things like Isaiah 53 and other sections. Now, there is a little bit of a division here between, like I said earlier, the gift of prophecy, which is obviously given by God, and so there is a direct spiritual connection there. And the role of a prophet, which is more a description of who we are, of our character, of how God has made us. And so in that respect, we can actually look at the wider world and say, okay, what people out there in the ordinary secular world are similar to prophets? Because we're not talking about the gift of prophecy. Do you see the distinction? Okay? So this will really get you going. secular examples are people who speak out their perceptions. Yeah? People who speak out their perceptions. And they're often the creative types, musicians and artists. Isn't it true that even today, people, when they hear Handel's Messiah, are stirred? And some people talk about him being a bit like a musical prophet, because those words touch people's hearts and communicate into their lives. That's a musical aspect, if you like, of this idea of being a prophet. Here's the question then we began with. You knew I was going to be brief today, aren't you impressed? You are a prophet? Question mark. You? Could you be a prophet? Each of this little series starts with that question and with that question mark. Now, today has just been simply laying, if you like, the basis of what we're going to be thinking of over the next little while. Opening up the idea that every one of us has a unique part to play in what God is doing. And in what God is doing in this generation and in this community and in this church. And as we think over the next few weeks, I want to ask you, will you be open to God speaking into your heart about which of these five roles in Ephesians is the function that he's calling you to fulfill? Please don't mistake that from you being able to fulfill it. That's not your responsibility. God says he will give us all that we need in order to accomplish what he asks us to do. But the first step in all of that is to say, I'm willing, Lord, for you to use me. I think that's why God sort of just spoke to me earlier about some of us here don't feel we're even worth God using. Don't think it's even possible. Not in a million years do we think God could use us in one of these roles. But we started, didn't we, by recognizing that this passage talks about each one of us. Each one of us being given a role by God. You may be a prophet. And part of the character of a prophet is this. Prophets enjoy being alone with God. Do you? Prophets don't find it hard waiting and listening. But prophets then know that they have to speak out, because God gives them that inner compulsion that they have to communicate. Over the next few weeks, we're going to find that in our sharing together, we're all different characters, all different shapes. You can have an introverted prophet. You can have an extrovert prophet. You can have all sorts of different character types called to the roles that we're going to be thinking of. But today, can we just open up that thought? Will you allow God to use you in one of these roles? Is it even possible with your attitude for God to do that. And if your attitude needs changing in order to open the door for God to unlock your potential and your ministry, will you choose to do that? Will you? Only you can answer. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we have already today, as we've worshipped, as we've shared together, recognized your love, your compassion to us, your faithfulness. And now, Lord, we just want to say we want to respond. We want to be open to whatever you call us to be, to whatever you ask us to do. But we do recognize, Lord, we can't do that in our own ability or strength. And so in the quiet of these moments, we want to let go of the barriers we've put up in ourselves to you using us. And say, Lord, forgive us. Lord, open us to be the full, free disciples of Jesus that you want us to be. And in doing that, Lord, may we unlock the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to fulfill all that you ask of us as your children. Lord, we want to be all that we can be and all that we should be as individuals and as a community of faith here in Minehead. Amen.
To leave a comment about the sermon, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.